Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to another edition of Believe in Giants. Bob Pulpa, two-time Super Bowl champion, Carl Banks. Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, man.
Look at my tan. I've been working a lot of golf.
I see you. I got a lot of frequent flyer miles myself. Business has kept me on the road, man.
So, Carl, there's a lot to tackle here. The Giants have a new defensive coordinator. They got a new offensive line coach. They brought in new players, and some very familiar faces are no longer part of the New York Giants. And we'll get into Saquon taking the gig with the Eagles, and good for him. He got the money he was looking for, and we'll get into that in just a bit. But you've been like red hot on X lately, trying to deal with frustrated fans, and I'm not really sure what the frustration is all about at this point.
Well, and look, I get the frustration of fans and wanting more from their team, and they should. I think some of the guidance that they're getting is not good or misguided. And then that frustration turns into, well, you're a homer, you work for the team. Well, let me just clear a few things up. Yes, I work for the team. Yes, I root for the team. I am a Giants fan like all of you are. I'm invested.
Oh, you played for the team.
I played for the team. I brought the team. I was part of a team that brought the first Super Bowl in the Super Bowl era to New York. I brought a second one. I was pretty effing good. So it hurts me to see the Giants in the state that they are. The guidance that some of you fans are getting, and again, you guys don't see football the way I was taught it, learned it, and played it. So I get it, right? You guys are looking for answers. I get that. But some of the guidance that you get is not necessarily the right guidance you get, right? You're frustrated with players. I get that. You don't like certain players for whatever reason. For whatever reason. But, and this is not every fan, but let's be clear. A lot of you take it too far, in my opinion, right? I know some of it is lighthearted. You know, Charlie Vax and Robert Randolph and I, we josh a little bit. But, you know, you guys have made some of these things very personal when it comes to these players. And I know you're emotionally invested. That's what fandom is. And I'm not going to tell you how to be a fan. What I will say to you, and most of you know this, some of you don't. These are young men. These are somebody's sons. They're somebody's father. So when you start to go down the road of, and look, I know fans get upset with players and they say things, right? You call a guy a bum if you want, but some of the things that we're seeing, that I'm seeing on my timeline, are just awful. And that's not cool, right? Because back to my original point, I don't expect you guys to see the game and to study the game like I do, right? Because I've grown up in it and I've excelled at it. So I understand that football is a game of cause and effect, right? And you cannot like your quarterback. Oh, and let me also go on record as saying, because I've said this before, I believe in Daniel Jones' skill set. But I also know this, as a Giants fan and somebody who supports the team, I want to support whoever they put under center. And Daniel Jones will have an opportunity this year when he's healthy. And I think he'll make the best of that opportunity. That's that, right? But if they change quarterbacks, I'm going to root for the guy who's under center. Simple as that. It ain't personal, right? But the cause and effect of this game and the information that some of you guys get or some of you guys think you're posting that makes your point, you don't factor in so many other things. If you're frustrated with your team, point to the areas that got you here, right? This team, case in point, this team hasn't had a line. The last time they had a linebacker that was worth a damn, he's now a head coach for the Raiders. That's how long it's been since they've had a decent linebacker. You want to have an issue with the quarterback? That's good. Where's his Plaxico Burress, his Amani Toomer, his Victor Cruz, his Odell Beckham, his Jeremy Shockey? Right? So you can have it's a cause and effect to all of this. Right?
Well, they got a linebacker now. They got Bobby O'Connor.
Right, that's what I said. But your frustration, you fans, I get it. Right? I can relate. Oh, and by the way, I am a season ticket holder and I purchased mine. Right? So I'm no different than you guys.
I got four and I paid 10 grand a piece for a PSL.
Yeah. So so don't think we don't relate. Don't think I don't relate. But when we talk cause and effect, right? You are in this situation because the Giants, prior to Joe Shane walking through that door, were cap gymnastics and bad talent. Joe Shane came in the last 2 years with my idea. I thought it was reconstruction. This was the rebuild, right? And he put some foundation players in place. He was able to get a playoff win out of that.
And then they made the playoffs and won a game.
And they won a game. Okay. That's progress. You can say whatever you want about the opponent. Just like the Philadelphia Eagles will try to discount their loss to the Giants. That Giant victory against the Philadelphia Eagles meant a lot to the Eagles, and it meant more to the Giants. The Eagles were in a bad state, and they needed that win. The Giants went in and took care of business. That meant a lot for this program. That meant a lot to what they're building now. They're not rebuilding. They're building now, right? So to that coaching staff, to those players who are still here, meant a lot, right? So when we started to talk about this team, don't be misguided. And then I suggest that you don't take everything that you see or hear, and that includes me, if you can't substantiate it or back it up and make it gospel, right? You know, there are people that'll post, oh, here's a 5-minute video of everything that Daniel Jones can. This is proof he can't throw the ball 20 yards. Now, I want you guys to think about this. If you can't throw the ball 20 yards in the NFL, you're not an NFL player.
Right.
Much less a first round, second round, fourth, fifth, or sixth. Right? So let's just dispel that. So somebody who's giving you
that
these
stuff
videos
is just silly. But you can take any video of anybody and put it together the way you want it to fit a narrative.
Right, but when you're a fan and you're frustrated and you're looking for answers or you're looking for reasons not to like, those things can misguide you, right? So if you can get 5 minutes of a guy doing something wrong, give me 55 minutes of him doing something right. Because if all you got is five, then he's doing a lot more good than bad. And this is not a podcast to defend Daniel Jones. Like I said, I am going to support and root as hard for whoever is under center. I personally like Daniel, yes, as a player, but that's a me issue. But
look, I've said it before, Carl. I'll say it again. Daniel Jones is Alex Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He is Alex Smith was taken one overall. He had five offensive coordinators his first 4 years in the league. He had three different head coaches in San Francisco, and it wasn't until Jim Harbaugh got there that Alex Smith started to become a viable player. And they thought Kaepernick was an upgrade, so they went to Kaepernick. He went to Kansas City, and Alex Smith was outstanding in Kansas City. But then Andy Reid felt we could upgrade the position, and they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. But Alex Smith, even in Washington, Alex Smith turned out to be a really good player that if he wasn't drafted number one overall would have been viewed differently, especially because Aaron Rodgers sat in that green room at the draft and went as late as he did. And Daniel Jones, through, you know, his play at times and the circumstances and the organizational instability as far as coaches and GMs and players and decisions that were made left and right, kind of got caught in the crosshairs of all this.
Sure.
I think he's going to be a good player in the league. Is it going to be for the Giants? I don't know, because you have to take into account, forget about the ACL. That, I can't believe I'm saying this, but that's how far medicine has gotten, where you can say, forget about the ACL. He'll come back from that.
Yeah.
It's the neck injuries in two of the last 3 years that I think if you're Giants management, coaching, whatever, that's the thing that has to have you most concerned. And that could be the main reason why you're looking to maybe move to a different direction with the quarterback.
Yeah.
It's just my opinion.
And then the other thing too, Bob, is his mental state, right? He's been beat up. And I don't have any doubt that he'll go out and he'll compete. And but when the lights come on and the bullets start to fly, is he PTSD? Is he traumatized? Is he having flashbacks, right? Is he shell-shocked? Because he took a lot of punishment and it impacted his judgment in the game. And that's not an excuse. It's fair. And that's not a lie. You know, when people say, well, you know, Daniel just can't do this and you blame everything on the offensive line. Well, that's how it works in the NFL. Quarterbacks that have time make good judgments. Quarterbacks that get hit a lot, they make bad judgments. But what I'm going to do as a fan of the New York Giants, who actually works there too, I'm going to root for the guy that got under center. And as you guys go and you vent, right, just understand this. If Daniel Jones is under center, his teammates and his coaches are going to do every effing thing they can to make sure he's successful. They are not going to set him up for failure. And I think when you look at where they are in their process of rebuilding, they're beyond it. Now they're building. But you look at the acquisitions that they've made over the last two drafts, they've corrected a lot of things where they didn't have to go overspend. I think, you know, they did go get some free agents that didn't work out. That happens in every cycle with every team. But they are now in a place to build and go forward. They're not as far back as they were when they took over, because they understand that it takes talent to win in the NFL. Fans understand it takes talent, and it takes more than one guy. You are ahead of the game light years if you've got the quarterback you want. But that guy is Patrick Mahomes right now, right? He makes everything better. If you don't have the other pieces in place within your franchise, you need a guy who's going to manage your game and let all the pieces work in your favor. That's how you build teams. All teams are not built the same. They build to their strengths and they find areas where they can be better to offset their deficiencies. That's how the process works. It is a cause and effect profession, right? So you've got to constantly put pieces in place around wherever you're deficient. And this is where, again, as fans, you can point to one guy, but at the end of the day, it's one organization. And the organization has not been great at acquiring talent, assembling talent, and getting that talent to function at a high level. Yeah, you say, well, you haven't competed for a division in a decade. Well, yeah, you haven't had enough talent to do that. And if you want to pick one guy or two guys and say, well, they're the reason, no, it's the whole process. The whole process is the reason. You know, paying bad money for players, not drafting well, not complimenting the talent, if you have any, if it's marginal or not, you should be able to be middle of the road if you believe in what you say. But that has not been the case. Now you're in a situation where you have a general manager who's not emotionally attached to anything other than the product that he wants to put on the field. And it's unfortunate what happened with Saquon Barkley, because he, in my opinion, is one of the greatest Giants. But there was no emotional attachment to any contributions he made. And that's the hard, cold reality of football. Like, I'm not telling you they didn't care about him. I just know that they had a number that they had to stick with. They'll live with their decisions because they have a bigger picture. Their process is this. I don't think they would say a bad word about him. And Saquon Barkley has put this team on his back. He's a New Yorker. Once a Giant, always a Giant, and that fits him. And I hate the effing Eagles. I do. And I'm going to root for Saquon Barkley for 15 weeks. I'm going to wish him love and success for 15 weeks. The other 2 weeks, I hope he gets 2 yards. And if they see him in the third week, I hope he gets less yards than that. Other than that, the kid has been everything that you would want a star player to be within your organization and outside of your organization. And, you know, again, I'm not singling out all fans, but some of the behavior, some of the rhetoric towards him, and I get it. You can be critical of him. You can call him a traitor if you want, because that's what fandom is. But some of the personal attacks, understand, he's in his 20s. He's somebody's son. He's got a daughter, right? Of age where she can see and read. That's hurtful stuff, folks. And understand this. Would you want someone to do that, go to your son's job, somebody to go to you and call you all these types of names because you changed jobs? It ain't like he didn't put out for you. He put
gave you everything
team on
he's
his
got.
Back. Everything. Nothing less than. And here's case in point. And this is what I admire about this young man. He tried, you know, he held out. He wanted his money last year. He didn't hold out. He drew a line. The Giants weren't budging. He knew it was diminishing returns. He walked through that door, never said another word other than, let's go play football. And he did not sulk. He gave you everything he had. And for that, you have to applaud that young man. Now, you don't have to like him as an Eagle, but don't take these personal shots like he didn't do shit for you. He did everything he could to carry this team. So, you know, that's that, right? I'm done with that, but I'm just saying, I'm suggesting.
Well, yeah, I mean,
fans,
look.
Use some discretion, man.
He did everything to help the team win. It didn't work out.
No.
You know, listen, he wound up signing a deal that pretty much what the Giants offered him during the bye of 22. At that point, everyone was looking to get to McCaffrey money, which wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. And as much as I love Saquon Barkley, and listen, my kid is crushed. He's got every Saquon version Barkley jersey humanly possible hanging on his wall. It kind of reminded me of when I was a kid and the Yankees traded Bobby Mercer for Bobby Bonds. It like crushed me. Like when you're a kid, Walt Frazier gets traded to Cleveland. Ed Jockman gets traded from the Rangers to the Red Wings. Like, you know, you go through those moments, but you understand, right? It's a business. And I like what the Giants are doing. And this, again, this is not a knock on Saquon Barkley, but I've said this and I say it on my SiriusXM NFL radio show all the time. Tell me in this century, outside of the Ravens in 2000 and outside of Marshawn Lynch with Seattle, which, by the way, he wasn't even drafted by Seattle. What teams really win a Super Bowl with a featured, high-paid running back? Ezekiel Elliott didn't do it in Dallas. Peterson,
did McCaffrey do it yet?
No, he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. He's been ridiculously close. But he's also part of an ensemble cast, right?
But he's ridiculously good, too. You're right.
Right. But I'm telling you, it's about a compilation of backs, right? And so Devin Singletary, you know, by the way, since 2019, now Barkley obviously was injured in that stretch from when Singletary came into the league, but they have almost the same amount of total yards. I think Barkley only has 60 more yards. Now, Devin Singletary is not Saquon Barkley.
He's not the impact. Right.
But what I think the Giants' philosophy and what Joe Shane's philosophy is, and if you look at the teams that are winning Super Bowls, it seems to be the same philosophy of we're going to get lower-priced players at that position and a couple of them and use them in waves. And by the way, the last two Giants Super Bowls were won with that exact method. They were won with Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs and Derek Ward, and they had Ruben Drones. They had a compilation. Now, those guys, you got to still be good, but they're allocating their resources. And if you're looking at what they're doing in free agency and what they've done in their moves, their model is, what do you need to do? You got to protect the quarterback. You have to be able to get after the quarterback. And those are two areas in which they're going to, which they're focusing in on.
And you need receivers in this league.
Correct. And obviously by their, unless they're going to make some kind of trade for somebody, which I don't think they're going to, you know, I think the draft is rich in receivers, but I think their model is, hey, the running back position is worth X amount of dollars, and there'll be another veteran running back on the street that's going to be left off this dance floor that they're going to probably be able to bring in on a cheap one-year deal to fill out the room. And that's the model that they're going with as far as allocating resources. And yeah, I got to be honest with you, I like that.
I do too. Listen.
Because there's two trophies in the lobby every time we walk in that were built off this model.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, there's two other ones that were built similarly. You know, we ran the ball very well, but we didn't have the best backs in football.
That was a different,
but it was a different era. It was a different era, and you look at the backs of that era, the Eric Dickersons of the world and the Marcus Allens of the world, you know, we had some good players. Now, I'm not going to crap on any of my teammates, but you still there's a cause and effect. Where the league is now, you've got to be able to win that way. Or else you're going to just keep rotating general managers and head coaches. This crew has a clue. And again, people will jump on and they will criticize, you know, how Joe Shane is allocating his money, and they're going to be in cap. Some of you guys can't even balance your checkbook, and you want to talk about how a team is managing a salary cap. They've got a whole staff of people responsible for this, and you have to trust that they know what they're doing. Just because they don't do what you think they should do, you have no information. You have low information relative to what the professionals in those offices do. And that goes across the board. I ain't killing you as fans. You're fanning, right? But what I ask you, dig a little deeper, ask more questions, right? The folks on TV that tell you things, they are saying these things to fit their narrative within the time slot that they're allotted. They're not here to explain the whole purpose. They got a point they want to make. They make it, and you guys are looking for a reason for answers. You think those are the answers? Maybe they're not. Maybe it was just their perspective, their narrative that they're trying to make. You know, you got, oh, well, you know, Joe Burrow's had a bad offensive line and he was able to get his team to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow has missed, he's missed remainder of seasons twice with major injuries. Right. He's broke his hand. Right now, I hope to God that he can, but you don't know if he can throw the ball anymore. He screwed up his wrist. So, it's the cause and effect, folks.
Yeah, and you know one of the reasons why with a bad offensive line?
He had two goddamn good receivers in a running
back.
He's
got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins.
Yes.
And again, this is not a knock on the people on the team. But again, I went through this exercise with a friend of mine who's a massive Giants fan. And I said to him, I said, just answer me this question. How many teams would a Giant wide receiver start on in the NFL from last year? Yeah. And I said, you know, maybe Carolina, New England. But you start going through the list, and it's like the Giants don't have one of those guys that most of the other teams have. They have to get that difference maker.
Right. And then again, that goes back to my point. Where's Hakeem Nicks? Where is Plaxico Burress? Where's Amani Toomer? Where's Ike Hilliard? Where's Jeremy Shockey? Where's Victor Cruz? Where's Odell Beckham? Right? So whatever quarterback you got, he's only going to be as good as the talent around him. Meaning, and I'm saying this, if they make a change, they're still upgrading, folks. They're still building towards something. They put foundation place players in place so that now they can go forward. Before that, you got, again, like you say, no knock. But then when you put these other quarterbacks as comps, Kirk Cousins, right? He's been nothing more in the eyes of a lot of people than a game manager. Well, then why aren't you killing, not you guys, but why isn't he getting killed for having Stephon Diggs, Thielen, good tight end? He's never been without good wide receivers, even Washington. So it takes talent to win in this league, and then you're still not guaranteed.
Right, other than Brady. Because there were some years where you're sitting there looking at it like, who are his wide receivers? But they seem to be good when they need them to be good. And just like with Mahomes, now Mahomes got Kelsey and Brady had Gronk. So they had an alpha at least at another position. You got to have those guys. And I think the Giants are going to address that in the draft.
They are addressing it now.
Yeah.
They're starting to address it now. So we are where we are here. I wanted to make sure that you as fans understand I'm no different than you. I buy my season tickets too. I root and I'm more invested. You guys think you're invested. I'm more invested, right? Because I was part of building the tradition that we know as Giants football, right? I was the beginning of that process. So don't think I sit up and look at a team and want to make excuses for every time something goes wrong. But I also understand the cause and effect of this.
Makes it a lot easier for us to do our TV shows with the Giants when they're winning.
Sure. Sure. And I think most of you know, I don't pull punches. I call it like I see it. I don't make it personal. But this frustration, I get it. But if you want to hold one player accountable and not look at the entire process, then we got to recalibrate our frustrations, because, you know, the cause and effect, what's around him? Can somebody do something better? Yes. Can Daniel Jones be a better quarterback? Absolutely. I think he knows that too. He'll have a chance to show that when he's healthy. But, you know, when somebody says he can't read or he's got slow eyes, and, you know, Dan Orlovsky, who I love dearly, and he's as smart as they come, puts on a film. I forget what team they were playing. And he shows like five or six plays where, see, he missed a read. Didn't tell you that the offensive line gave up 11 sacks, 10 on Eli Manning. Two games before that, he got the shit kicked out of him in Dallas, where they couldn't stop anything. So, yeah. Well,
but here's the piece of information that's missing a little bit. And everybody can have an opinion. But you and I, we spent a lot of time with Coach Daboll during the season. And I asked him about that. I pointedly asked him about, I can't remember what game it was earlier this year. And I asked him, I said, hey, you know, congratulations on the win. Or maybe it was, maybe no, maybe it was 2 years ago. It was a playoff year, but early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And because Dan had posted that and some other guys had put, well, as good as the Giant, look at Daniel Jones' eyes and look what he missed. And I remember asking Daboll this exact question. And Daboll said to me, he goes, oh, you sound like so many other people. And he shakes his head. He goes, you know why he didn't see that read? Because the bleeping receiver wasn't where he was supposed to be. It was a play with Kadarius Toney. So yeah. Kadarius Toney was wide open, and Daniel Jones didn't see him. And Dable's like, he goes, do you know what the play was? Do you know what his progression was? Do you know what his reads were? Well, yeah, that guy's running open, but he wasn't supposed to be there. So now does my quarterback know if he's going to continue crossing? Is he stopping? Because he's running the wrong route. And it's not just Kadarius, and this is not a Kadarius Toney thing. This is several other examples of this. And he's like, yeah, his progressions didn't take him there. And he actually made the right decision and threw the ball where it was supposed to go. And just because a guy's open, it doesn't mean that they were supposed to be open in that area, because the play wasn't designed for any of that. But
right.
The dude, he's like, we had some plays where a couple guys were running the wrong route.
Yeah. So it's not a check
There's
with
a
me
lot of
offense.
Factors.
Yeah, and that's what I talk about, the cause and effect of it. And, you know, it's great that people have access to video and film, but it doesn't make you smart about what you're posting. You see what you see without context.
Now,
and
go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish your thought, because then
no,
I got
it. That was it. That was it.
All right. So wherever you go, I'll guarantee you, people ask you, is Carl, are they going to take a quarterback? The Giants taking a quarterback? And I get asked the same question constantly, mm-hmm. from family, friends, whomever. Heck, I'm working at a college golf tournament at the Darius Rucker Intercollegiate in South Carolina, and there's a lot of Northeasterners that have relocated to Hilton Head, so there were a lot of Giants fans down there. And I'm on the range, and I'm talking to these guys, and like, are they taking a quarterback? What are they doing with the quarterback? They're going to draft a quarterback? I'm like, look, they're not consulting with me on what they're doing. And one of the reasons why Peter King, who was covering the Giants for Newsday when you played, and then, you know, took his game to a high level and is now retiring, he had something in one of his late last columns where he said, for the first time in a long time, I trust the decision makers at the Giants, meaning Joe Shane and what they're doing. He goes, it's been a long time since I trust whatever their vision is, but they got the right people in place,
mm-hmm.
to steer it in the right direction. And that's not just Joe Shane. That's Brandon Brown, the assistant GM, and everybody that they've assembled with that staff. So I trust whatever they're going to do, I trust. Now, I'm looking at this
Drew Lock signing. I know they wanted to keep Tyrod Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
They love Tyrod Taylor. But again, dollars and cents. The number that Tyrod Taylor got offered by the Jets with the upside was just higher than they wanted to go.
Yeah.
And several other quality backups, you know, signed for good money, which after what happened last season made sense with the starters hurt. So they got Drew Lock in there. I don't know. Does the tea leaves point to the fact that they're probably going to try to make a move and draft a quarterback because they went with Drew Lock instead of a better backup? I don't know what the case is with this. But whatever they decide to do, they're not doing it for their health. They're doing it to try to make the team better.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have draft insights. And, you know, when you hear people coming saying, oh, I heard at least four coaches tell me that they're sick and tired of Daniel Jones. That's what we're hearing out of the combine. And then you hear, oh, Drew Lock was promised an opportunity to compete. Well, yeah, that would be incentive to come and sign and play with Jones. Yeah, you're going to compete because you got a guy coming off an injury. And if that guy is not recovered from injury or he's not playing well, yes, that's what backups do. They have a chance to compete to be a starter. He did not sign to hold a clipboard. He signed because there is a realistic opportunity that he could be a starter at some point, maybe at the beginning of the season, or maybe he beats him out. But that's okay. You know, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to give Daniel Jones every opportunity. They're invested $40 million. They want him to have success, people. You can throw him away if you want. They want him to have success because they're paying him. And if they draft another guy, they still want him to have success until the other guy is ready. And it's in Daniel Jones' best interest to have success so he can go out and have a career somewhere else if he's not a Giant.
Plus, they reserve the right to pivot. Like, everybody thinks they – I mean, what happens if there's a team in the draft that pulls a Mitchell Trubisky and somebody moves up and takes a quarterback that no one has ranked in the top three or four? Well, you know what? The Giants then may adjust at six and may say, oh, my gosh, we got a chance to get this guy that we didn't think we were going to have a shot to get.
Sure.
And based on Daniel's injuries and so on and so forth and the neck and everything else, we think that this might be an opportunity for us to reset and upgrade. They may make a move, right? What if someone, the Jets, nobody had Zach Wilson that high on their boards from what I understand in talking to most. But the Jets were in love with Zach Wilson, and they took him. That changes the entire board. So they're not locked into anything either. That's why they're doing their due diligence on all these guys.
That's why they have that big old draft room in there where they can play out every scenario. You know, they workshop everything every day, three times a day, four times a day. They're in there, and they – if somebody has an idea, if Brandon Brown walks in there and says, what if this happens? They throw it up in that. They got, I don't know if you guys haven't, but they've got this big old state-of-the-art draft room where they just play, they play out scenarios. They workshop everything. So they are constantly looking at the what ifs so they don't get caught off guard and they don't make emotional decisions.
Right. I mean, so we don't know. They don't know what they're doing because they don't know what's going to happen in front of them.
Right.
The only people that have certainty are the Chicago Bears because they have the number one overall pick.
And they seem uncertain.
I don't think they're that uncertain.
Yeah.
I think Caleb Williams is going there. You know, the Giants have a new defensive coordinator in Shane Bowen. I like it in the sense that, you know, he worked under Vrabel, so there's a commonality to philosophy. And his philosophy is let's get there with four or five, but let's not do the wink or be a heavy blitz percentage team.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went out and they got Brian Burns, who all the guy's got is 46 sacks and has been to two Pro Bowls already.
Yeah.
And he's 25 years old. It's listen, I think the Giants were able to take advantage of Carolina dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember a year ago, and even at the end of 22, at the trading deadline, at the trading deadline in 22, the regime that was in Carolina at that point, he was their only untouchable. They let everybody know he's untouchable.
Somebody offered him a lot for him too, right?
I think 2 first-round picks. Jeez. He was like an untouchable. Yeah. We are not, but they've had 19 head coaches since then, since the fall of 22. So he went from untouchable to we got him, but we're not paying him the money that he's looking for. And he, listen, I like the trade. I like the player. He needs to be Bobby Okereke 2.0.
Yeah.
Like Bobby Okereke lived up to the billing and then some.
Yeah.
Burns has got to do that.
Do what you've been doing everywhere else. Just bring that blueprint, plant your flag, and just go forward. I think that was a great signing. And again, I like what they're doing. I'm enthusiastic about what they're doing. But the season starts in August, when the preseason starts and the bullets start to fly. So we'll see how that goes. Now, as far as this defensive construct, I like it. And if you guys want to see what that looks like, take a look at their game, their playoff game 2 years ago against Cincinnati. They were good on the back end because they were so good on the front end. And if Tannehill doesn't throw 3 interceptions, we're not talking about Joe Burrow in the Super Bowl, because they were very aggressive in run and pass, did not bring a lot of players, 5 at times, but 4 mostly. And that gives you so much flexibility on the back end of your defense. When you have, again, you have to have some talented players or else you're going to play a lot of zone. But when you have players like a Deontay Banks out on a corner, you can start to look at how he can take away things, and you can manipulate your defense based on, you know, some talented players, your linebacking crew. So, and then they got rotation guys in their front four.
Yeah, I mean, and we talked about sort of the DNA of the last 2 Giants Super Bowl wins. Well, the DNA of the last 4 Giants Super Bowl wins, and even the DNA of the team that lost the Super Bowl, the DNA was you're getting there with
4
your front guys, your 4 or 5, mm-hmm. and we got studs up front that are going to kick your butt, and then we can take care of the back end. So that is clearly the philosophy. Now, I will say this. I was very saddened by the loss of Xavier McKinney.
Yeah, another great Giant leader.
24 years old. But I get it. Again, it's about allocating your resources and what you want to spend your money on. And listen, for Green Bay's sake, I hope he blossoms into a $17 million a year player.
Yeah.
But for the New York Football Giants at this point in time in this build that's going on, I'm not sure that allocating $17 million a year to a safety would have been the right decision.
Well, let's look at what they drafted too. Like they're, you know, where we have to constantly monitor is the progress of players that were drafted by this regime too. So as these players move on, there's an expectation that the players they drafted now step up and make the next progression in their careers, because they're now not drafted as backup players anymore. They're drafted as starters, some of these guys. So you look at your defensive backfield and you say, okay, you guys are up next. We didn't draft you just so you can play behind somebody. We anticipated that we may be without some key players.
Yeah, and again, they did a cost analysis on it. They could have franchised them and put a placeholder in there. They could have transitioned them. They chose to not do either. Again, you have a new defensive coordinator. You have how do you want to allocate your resources? I think it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. And they certainly need a corner. Now, there are some veteran guys I think that they're going to be able to, after the draft, bring in on the cheap. And that doesn't mean that they can't draft guys either.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Jalen Mills is a feisty guy. He's played for the Eagles. He's played for the Patriots. He's very confident in his game. I think he'll be a nice fit. I know Brandon Brown knows him very well from his time with the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think they see a nice role for him. And then the offensive line, I mean, they brought Runyon in, who's a young veteran. He started 50 or 67 games. And Jermaine Illuminor is a little bit older, but you know, he's worked under the new offensive line coach, and it gives the Giants some flexibility.
Yeah, so the little bit older part is the thing that excites me most. And this is, again, not just limited to the Giants. Young offensive linemen are taking longer to develop because they were never developed at the high school or college levels. They're, you know, they're what they call, not even zone blockers, they're space blockers. Many have not had to deal with advanced defensive line stunts or even basic defensive line stunts. And when you look around the league, there's a veteran sprinkled in amongst rookies to try to stabilize what they are. It used to be a time where if you got a veteran offensive lineman, you're like, oh, he's going to be a valuable utility guy. Now these guys become valuable starters because of their knowledge of how defenses are played and to help these young kids develop into executing NFL style blocking schemes. So yeah, adding him is a plus to this offensive line. When you see John Michael Schmitz, who's had bright moments, but he's struggled as a rookie with certain movements, certain stunts. And so now you got a guy in there who can help these guys really speed up their process.
You know what else I like? I like the fact that, I mean, I know this doesn't mean anything, but for Giants fans, it should resonate a little bit, right? He went to Morris Knowles High School in New Jersey. And he was so excited and pumped to be a Giant, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, he's like, oh, man, I'm so excited. It's my team growing up, you know. And that doesn't mean anything in the broad scope. But he's passionate about it. And he gives them flexibility. I'm still not giving up on Evan Neal.
Nope.
But now I think you have options.
Yeah.
Right? You have options. And then if you want to try the experiment of seeing if Evan Neal is better suited to play guard, you got a guy that you can put out there that knows the offensive line coach. I mean, with the Raiders, the last 3 years, he started 34 of 48 games. And in the last 2 years, he started 31 of 34. So he's got a lot of snaps under his belt. And look, the work's not done. I mean, free agency is just the first piece of the puzzle.
And it shouldn't be the main piece either.
No, the draft is the main piece.
Yeah.
The one thing I like about Joe Shane and this group is they are willing to move up, move down, use assets. They don't get pigeonholed into just a strict mindset other than fiscal responsibility and trying to identify players that fit what they're doing.
Yeah.
So,
and they're not there, you know, whether you like it or not, they're not emotionally attached to some of this stuff. They have a plan. They're attached to their plan, to whatever their commitment is to ownership. And this is what we plan to do. And we're going to stick with this. And at the end of this process, if we didn't get it done, you can fire our asses, but this is how we want to do it. And you could see that their signatures and their handprint is on everything that they do. You can look at the process of how this team has been operating, and you could say they're doing it the way that they want to do it.
Anything else to get off your chest at this moment?
No, man, but it's good to be back. Good conversation to have. And, you know, I know, again, I know fans are fired up. Just take a moment. Understand that the process is a cause and effect. That if you're looking for answers, sometimes the things that are posted or that you see are maybe convenient to fit your state of emotion. But at the end of the day, if you're a Giant fan, you've got to look at your Giants team and see where they can get better and why they haven't, or why they are moving in the right direction. And this, again, there's no more narrative of a rebuild. This team is building. And I expect this team to compete in this division. It's no longer second to last place because, you know, Washington was worse than you. It's now time to start to make the move. The fact that you beat the Philadelphia Eagles when the Philadelphia Eagles needed a game, and don't let anybody discount that shit. The Eagles needed that game, and they got the Giants beat them. I thought that was a big step because they felt the Eagles punch. And they know what they're dealing with now, and they know how to deal with it now. So it's time now to start to compete in this division.
And I want to encourage fans, because I really, I enjoy it. When I'm on these golf channel trips, I love when Giants fans come up. Yeah, I'm from Connecticut. I'm from Long Island, Staten Island, you know, down from the Jersey, you know, live here, move from the Jersey Shore. Don't hesitate to come up and say hello and talk a little football. I love it. Like next week, I'll be in Newport Beach, California, and then I go to Rancho Mirage. And there's Giants fans all over the country. So never hesitate. Don't be shy. Like when I was in Naples a few weeks ago, there are tons of Giants fans down there. There's more New Yorkers are heading to the West Coast of Florida. And I was at the players the last 2 days, and I think I talked more football than golf at TPC Sawgrass.
And I encourage fans, look, I do like engaging. And if you have opinions, it's great. Don't be mad at me for mine. What I eat don't make you poop. So if you believe in something, believe in it. But, you know, I base my opinions on a certain knowledge of how things work. I believe in what I say. And, you know, if you guys don't, if you don't like what's going on, don't lash out at me because I differ in opinions. Hold your opinion, because the beautiful thing about sports, the narrative is written for you every single week. So let's see how it plays out. Stay enthusiastic about your team. I get your frustration. You're where some 80-year-olds were back at your age, some of you guys, because the Giants were awful then. But it'll turn, I believe, in the people that are in charge. And yeah, I'm a Giants fan. I'm a root for the Giants. So let's just get that out on the table. But I'm going to root for the guys they put out there. And I'm going to be critical when I need to be critical. I'm not going to make it personal, and I suggest you guys not do that either. You know, there's a certain level of fandom and frustration. And yeah, I mean, you know, you call guys bums, you call them traitors, but just like that, that's about the far as you should be going out. And this, some of this stuff is like, you guys really want to fight these kids, and they're kids, they're young men, and understand that, you know, I'm not telling you how to fan, but just take that in consideration.
As the late, great Wellington Mara said, you can be critical, just don't be personal.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of things to critique. And this is a big year, man. This is the 100th anniversary. There's so many cool things that Giants fans are going to love. And I think that also creates the stakes, raises the stakes a little bit.
They got to step up. This team has got to be building and moving and competing now. We need to see tangible results. I'm saying that. We need to see tangible results now. Now you got to start to see, I get it. I see why this was in place. I see why they did that. Oh, I see how they're using Wandell now. I see why he's a problem. He's a matchup problem. I see why Hyatt was drafted and he was probably underrated because not only can he get behind the defense, we can get him the ball and he can catch it.
Yeah, I think every Giants fan's expectation level at this point, it'll be my last point. But when you look at the schedule when it comes out this season, which will be sometime at the end of April or early May, fans want to be able to look at the roster that post-draft, post-free agency, moves that were made, and fans do not want to say, and I don't want to say this either, when I'm looking at the schedule saying, all right, well.
It's over by Halloween?
No. Not it's over by Halloween. But I don't want to look at the schedule and say, okay, well, all right, this looks favorable, that looks favorable. Of course, going to get swept by Philly. Hopefully get a split with the Cowboys maybe this year. Like, you don't want to look at the schedule that way anymore. Mm-hmm. We'll get Washington twice, but you know, forget about the two Philly games. No. That mindset's got to be gone. Mindset's now got to be, hey, you don't look at the Philly games as like, all right, it's a sweep.
Right. They're, to use a boxing analogy, because I love it, they're no longer sparring partners. They're in the ring for real now. Like, you're not a sparring partner for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Now it's time to compete. You felt their punch. Now you've been ranked higher. Let's go.
Correct. All right, that's a good way to end it. All right, Carl, we'll be back at a prescribed period moving forward. And I know a little travel going on and stuff like that, but there'll be some news and we'll get to it. But how do we like to end it?
Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Believe in Giants.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.